in Westgate. How's everybody doing? Well, his word is clear about letting everything that has breath praise the Lord. So let's do that together, all right? We just want to encourage you to worship as you feel led this morning, whether that's sitting, standing, kneeling, dancing. We want you to worship as the Spirit leads you.
A praise in the valley, a praise on the mountain. When I'm sure, and I'll praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when outnumbered, I'll praise when surrounded. Cause praise is the water my enemies drown in. As long as I'm breathing, I got a reason to praise. Soul. Oh, I'll praise when I feel it, I'll praise when I don't. Yes, I'll praise cause I know, oh, you're still in control.
That's right.
Oh, my praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. No, I won't. No, I won't be quiet. My God is alive. How could I keep it inside?
Praise cause you reign, praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise, praise cause you're faithful, praise cause you're true, praise cause there's nobody greater than you. I praise, praise cause you're sovereign, praise cause you reign, praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. Praise cause you're faithful, praise cause you're true, praise cause there's nobody greater than you. My soul, praise the Lord, oh my soul, praise the Lord, oh my soul, I'm gonna praise the Lord, oh my soul, no I won't be quiet, my God. Storm that surrounds me. With just one word, the darkness has to retreat. With just one touch, I feel the presence of heaven. With just one touch, my eyes were open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that He can't burn. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do.
You believe that?
Oh, just one word, you hear what's broken inside. With just one word, and you revive every dream. With just one touch, I feel the power of heaven. With just one touch, my eyes are open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that there's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise. Let all agree. There's no power like the power of Jesus. I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise. Let all agree. There's no power.
Have a seat. Good morning. Good morning. It's nice to see you all. We all chose to be here together to praise the name, and there's nothing our God can't do. Good morning, Livestream friends. We're happy you're watching online as well. My name is Julianne. I have the privilege of working here as our Outreach and Missions Director, and it really is a joy after a week of some high highs and some low lows to just come together as the church to sing and worship God, listen, pray, reflect, and care for one another. So what a joy to do this together. On your way in, we have tables out there that have the sermon notes as well as some upcoming events listed. We hope you had a chance to grab those. Or if you want, you can also pull them up on our app. The Westgate Chapel app has information about upcoming events, and then there's a sermon notes tab as well, so you can follow along. And also, so we have that way to connect, and then we have our Connect card. So in front of you in the pews, we have this card called the Connect card for our friends online. It is also available online. Just got a new update refresh, and if you flip it on the back, you can see that we have a QR code to scan and download the app, and a little bit more about the church. And so this is a way for us to gather prayer requests. If you're looking for more information, just want to connect, we would love for you to drop this in the offering that will be collected before the sermon, or you are welcome to take it to our guest center, welcome center. We have a team to help welcome you, answer any questions, and just help you get connected here into the life of our church family that we love. On the back of our Connect card, you can read our vision and mission statement. Westgate Chapel desires to be a Jesus-centered community known for intentionally sharing God's love with our neighbors and the nations. And that is something that you will hear just often as we are talking about what we do as a church. What we want to champion and celebrate is for each of us, the church, to have opportunities to show God's love, share God's love with our neighbors and the nations. And so each of you have the opportunity each week to show and share God's love with the people in your circles. And then we at Westgate have a couple key partners throughout our community that we love to do side by side. And so I'm going to share with you guys about our DOOR missional team and partnership. Just a mile away is DOOR Elementary, part of the Springfield School District, and we together have just been able to do some amazing opportunities to bless this school. And out of this posture, this story in Genesis, we read about Abram, before he's changed his name to Abraham. Abram, the Lord goes to Abram and gives him this promise, this Abrahamic covenant, if you will. And the Lord says to Abram, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so from way back then to today, we are still living out this idea that we have been blessed to be a blessing. Have you guys been blessed this week? Have you noticed any blessings this week? Yeah? Yeah, we have been blessed, thank you, Jesus, to be a blessing to others. It's a beautiful part of life with God and life with Jesus. And so at DOOR Elementary, we have many different ways we've been able to bless this partnership. I'm going to show you some pictures just over the past few years. It's been going on for decades with turkey donations, and then one of our communities, a life group, built this outdoor classroom. Our middle schoolers wrote notes to each educator during COVID. We do a teacher appreciation at the beginning of the school year. Other things is every spring we help with the DOOR Dragon Fest. We send a team to help partner with the Parents Club for family events. In the fall, we do the Howling Howler. Your guys' life groups have come in. And I just want to share a fun story of something that happened this December. You guys all came for our Christmas on Wilford party and brought hats and mittens and toys and gently used coats, and so we got to take a whole haul of them. There's Adam and I with their guidance counselor, who's one of our people, our partners, and we just got to go and pray with her and encourage her as she's in the front lines. And it's really our church, again, giving our blessings and passing them on. And so I just get to stand in the middle and invite you guys to continue to be part of this. Many of you are doing it in your own circles, but if you want to join what God is doing with Westgate and DOOR Elementary, I would love for you to join our missional team, because God is really opening the doors for us to continue. So if you want to potentially prayer walk before or after school with Keep Watch, if you want to read or tutor during the day with kids, if you want to help me prepare with teacher appreciation just in the next couple weeks, I would love for you to reach out and just keep dreaming into what it looks like for us to take our blessing and pass it on to our neighbors and the nations. Another thing is that Dragon Fest is coming up, and we need a whole team, dozens of people to come. On May 10th, it's a Friday night, where we will be doing inflatables, face painting, carnival games, just many opportunities to be the hands and feet of Jesus and bless this community. We partner with the Parents Club, and it is genuinely so much fun. Many of you have done it with us in the past. So check out your calendars, talk to your people, and see if you want to join our team on May 10th to be part of Dragon Fest. And as stories come out where you're blessing people in your circles, keep sharing them with us because it is a joy to be that blessing. So those of you that nodded earlier, actually everyone, we're going to stand up and meet one another, greet one another. And if you can, think of what the first blessing was that popped into your mind. Stand up and meet somebody and yeah, share that blessing today.
Hosanna!
God is good. Amen. Amen. And we do come together to worship and celebrate our God who is able to overcome. But I also know there are many of us here that come maybe with heavy hearts this morning. Maybe we've encountered loss in our church family just this past week. But sometimes it's really hard to come to worship just happy, right? Can we just acknowledge that together? Sometimes it's really hard to just keep that smile on your face when things maybe aren't so great. Maybe you're coming to church today and you feel just empty. I'm here to tell you, for God, that's enough. He takes our emptiness. He takes exactly what we offer him. Maybe that's what you feel like, that's all you have to offer this morning. It's just a broken vessel. And again, maybe if you are coming this morning and you're like, man, things are great, that's good too. God takes that as well. But I don't want you to feel like you don't belong here, like you can't worship. There's not a place in the body of Christ if you're coming empty and broken this morning, because I'm telling you, there, that is enough. God just wants you. So as we do this next song, as we sing this next song together, as we sing this next song, just give it to him. Just give it to him, and acknowledging that no matter what we have to bring, God can take it and make it so much more. Amen.
Plates on the table, I'm broken and weak, so I fall down on my knees and lay myself at your feet. And you run to me, no matter where I am, you'll find me again. Run to me with arms open wide. You gave a new life to me. In the midst of my flaws, you refined and restored me. You brought this prodigal home.
God relentlessly pursues us. He's pursuing you right now.
Death nor life, depth nor height, nothing can separate us. Death nor life, depth nor height, nothing can separate. Make us more than conquerors in our shame.
Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we just sang some incredibly powerful truth. It's amazing to think that nothing can separate us from you. Nothing. God, we praise you. We thank you. Thank you for your love that pursues and runs and how you chase after us. Lord, as we continue to worship this morning, we know that all that we have, it just comes from you. You sustain us each and every day. You bless us with every spiritual blessing. And God, we also, you trust us to be stewards with resources and time and our energy and our effort and our finances. And as we worship you through offering this morning and giving you of our tithes, God, help us to be wise and good stewards of what you've given. So a lot, God, as we share our tithes this morning, Lord, may you use them for the building up and growing of your kingdom. And we praise you, we thank you, we love you. Amen. You can go ahead and have a seat, and as you do, we're going to receive our tithes and offerings this morning. There are the black buckets here in the middle. We'll pass those out to the sides and up in the balcony. They're on the other ends, and you put those going on in towards the middle. Welcome again as we continue to worship. My name is Adam Just. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you, I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and today I get the honor and privilege to share God's word with us this morning. We're going to be looking at two kind of main big passages this morning. The first is going to be Luke 15, the part of the prodigal son. And then we'll move later on to Acts chapter 2, looking at the beginning of the church. And there'll be a few other verses in there as well. Just kind of give you a heads up of where we'll be. And 2 weeks ago, we began this series called Unmistaken Identity. And the purpose of this series is really as we are growing in our discipleship, and as Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're growing as what that means for us. When we say that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And so that's where we began 2 weeks ago. Rob shared and how we move from old life into new life. And last week we talked about as disciples how we move from a place of independence, trying to do everything on our own, trying to be self-sufficient all on our own, and moving to being connected to the vine, looking at John 15, and being dependent upon our Creator, our God, who sustains and holds us together. And this morning we are going to move as discipleship, as we're moving from isolation, talking about trying to do things alone, on our own, into community, and what that means for us. And probably the first passage you think of when you think about church is probably the prodigal son, right? No. But that's where we're going to start this morning, and looking at Luke 15, into the prodigal son. Luke, if we begin in chapter 15, Jesus is with his disciples, and he has crowds around him. And when part of these crowds are the people that want to follow him and believe in him and believe what he's telling them, there's also folks that are some religious leaders, authorities that are just wanting to check him out and see if what he's saying is true or not, and maybe questioning some of the things that he does. and says. And so there's some of those in the crowd as well. And we read in the beginning of chapter 15 that some are muttering. They're muttering, Jesus, psh, 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 psh. He eats with sinners and tax collectors, and he cares about them. And Jesus says, you know what? Yeah, you're right. I do. And let me tell you a story about it. And so he goes on, he starts telling them this parable. It first begins with the lost sheep, and then to the lost coin, and then kind of culminates in the parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son. So if you're with me here, we'll begin reading in verse 11. It'll be on the screen, or whatever fashion you want to use this morning. I'll begin here. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. So as he's telling this parable, this story, there's a man that has two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I'm starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and his sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. So what does this parable have to do with community? Moving from isolation to community. First, we have to understand in Jesus' day and time, 2,000 years ago, what the role of the father was. The role of the father, he was the father and the authority over the household, over the house. And it wasn't just of his two sons or his two sons' families, if there were, but it was also over all the property, all of the land, all the animals, all the hired workers, and any other aunt and uncle or nephew or cousin or sister or brother-in-law or family that was attached, because they would have been attached to each other and the houses would have been built and it would have been a whole household together. And the father was responsible for everyone. And you enjoyed being a part of the father's house because the father took care of everything. Whatever need that he had, whatever need you would have, the father would take care of. That was the responsibility. And if the father then died, it would be passed on to the oldest son. The oldest son dies, then to the next. So that's the time that Jesus was telling this story. So here we have the younger son saying, Dad, I want my inheritance now. Meaning, I basically want to consider you dead. An older brother, I really want to consider you dead too, and I want my piece of the inheritance now. And so this would have been a disgrace and a shame upon the whole house, upon the whole family, upon the whole community, because if the father had to liquidate what was his, he didn't have the cash on hand to say, okay, well, here you go. It wasn't passed down this way. It was valued in land and livestock and people. So imagine that all of a sudden the father says, okay, half of you, I need to let go. And I need to turn this over to my son so you don't have a job anymore. You don't have a place. I can't take care of you anymore. I can't take care of your food, your water, your needs. I'm not going to, I can't guard you. I can't protect you. You're on your own. Imagine what this would happen to the community. And how would you feel regarding, how would you see this younger son? How would the older brother, how would the father view and see this son? So Jesus continues to tell this parable, and he gives him, somehow the younger son gathers what he can, and then he leaves and goes off to a distant country. Not only has he rejected the community that he was in, but then he even rejects the faith. And as he rejects the faith, he goes to a distant land, one that we know would be like considered non-Jewish or Gentile or pagan, because he is there and there are pigs, there are unclean animals, and this is where he squanders the wealth, squanders everything that he has. And then what do we learn about him? He is alone. And often we probably read over this. No one was there to help him. So he comes to his senses and then says, oh, I'm going to go back. He has this story that he's going to, Father, forgive me. And he comes back. Another piece of the culture there, that they would have experienced in Jesus' day, first century, was a practice that if someone did what the younger son did, it wasn't good. And so they would practice something they would say is called kitsatsa. Kitsatsa means to cut off. And so they would grab, you see someone after they left the community and they had disgraced the whole community, like the younger son had, if you ever saw him coming back, you would go and you would grab a piece of pottery, and then you would go out before them, and before they entered the town, you would smash it in front of their feet and say, "Kitsatsa, you are cut off, you're no longer welcome here, you're no longer part of this community. Get lost." And there were probably many, many people that would have done this to this younger son. And so when we read what the father does, the father who is seeking, the father is searching, he sees the son far off. And what's the father do? He runs. At that time, for a man in Jesus' day to run would have been disgraceful. Who knows what could happen? But the father runs because he knows he needs to get to the son before anyone else in town, slams down the jar and yells out, "Kitsatsa." And he's cut off from the community. The father runs and embraces him. And not only just says, okay, you can come be a hired, but he gives him a robe, he gives him a ring, gives him sandals. He welcomes and places him back as a son. And he restores him into this community. And then he says, okay, son, let's come home. Come home. And it's not just the two of them. Because he says, go to the hired hands that are still there. Go get the fattened calf. Anybody butchered a fattened calf lately? From what I've read and learned is that a fattened calf would at least feed, because there's no refrigeration, it's just there, you have to use all of it. They needed to have at least over 100 people there. So the father then welcomes the son home, which That's a great, beautiful, wonderful piece. But then he also invites the whole community. Come, celebrate with me that my son has come home. Celebrate with me. Welcome home. Welcome back to the house. Welcome back to the family. Welcome back to the community. You were alone. You were isolated. But come home. Welcome back. So what do we learn from this about community, about reclaiming this community as disciples? That we each have been brought into the household of God. That when we say yes, Jesus, you are my Savior. I want you to be my Lord. I want to follow after you. I'm going to, you know, worship you and live for you each and every my day. Thank you for being my Savior. Yes, there is a change in our identity, right? It also means, John 1, verse 12, says, if you believe, then you are a child of God. And so when we believe in this, we are a child. And you're a child, and you're a child, and you're a child. Which means that you are a son, a daughter, a son, a daughter, a son, a son. If we're all daughters and sons, we're siblings in this family of God. So not only do we have this relationship with God, but we have these relationships with each other that also is now blood through Jesus. Jesus in John 14, he speaks about the house. It says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. In Matthew 12, 48 through 50, his mom and siblings come and check up on Jesus. And he replies to them, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he points to his disciples who are there with him. And he says, here are my mother, here are my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and my mother. So we're reclaiming this identity that we are now in this family of God, that we are brothers and sisters together. We are the church. And throughout the rest of the letters of the New Testament, we find similar themes of brother, sister, family, household. Galatians 6:10. We're called family of believers. Ephesians 2:19. We're no longer foreigners or strangers. We're God's people and members of his house. Members of his household. So our identity has changed. Why is that significant? B, because belonging to the family of God is important in a world of isolation. It's important in a world of isolation where many feel alone, where many feel isolated. God places us in a family. I had heard a lot of research and studies had been done currently over the general feelings of being alone or isolated in the world. And I didn't have it in me this week to like jump into studies and research when it came to that. So I asked on Tuesday morning, okay, God, I need some help here. And this is a really a neat thing. I was then later on Tuesday evening, I was in our yard and we were kind of trying to clean some stuff up. And my neighbor, who isn't a believer, comes over and he comes with a piece of paper. And he walks over to me and says, oh, kind of anything that has to do with the church, they usually kind of hand me. And So he hands me this article, and I'm like, okay, thanks. And I take it, put it in my pocket. I'll look at it later. Later on the evening, I said, Sarah, so-and-so gave me this piece of paper. I pulled it out, and it's an article from the Wall Street Journal of that day. So Tuesday this week. The title of the article, Some Mental Health Benefits Are Linked to Going to Church. I was like, okay. I start reading this article, and this article has like the latest research from Harvard University, from Baylor University, and Gallup polls where they've surveyed and studied over 250,000 responses. And their findings are that over 50% of baby boomers that answered yes, I feel isolated, I feel alone. Millennials, 71% said, I feel isolated, I feel alone. Gen Z, who feels like it is like the probably the most connected generation right now, 79% said, I feel isolated and alone. And one of the quotes of one of the folks in the article said, I'm a Gen Zer and I sit side by side with a person and I'm looking at my phone and they're looking at their phone and I feel so alone and far apart. Because, you know, we understand they're looking at their thing, they're looking at this other thing. And this isolation, the study went on to show that the higher rates of isolation are associated with depression and anxiety, heart disease, stroke, dementia, and suicide. That's why God wants us in a family. He wants us connected. He wants us to be community together. So what does being in the family of God look like? What does that look like for us? So Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So this is the beginning in Acts, right after Pentecost, when the church is born. And so what do we learn from these early believers, these first Christians? One, and I have seven of these. Seven seems like a good number if you're in a church. So there's seven. Some will spend longer amount of time on than others. Some will just really touch really quickly. Number one, the family of God gathers together. The family of God gathers together. The early church, this was a necessity for them. This was a main priority for them. Whether it's the end of, right after the resurrection in Luke 24, they gathered every day in the temple courts. Or right here, they gathered every day together. Because they were in a time and season where crazy events were happening, crazy things were going on in the world. A lot of the people that they were around weren't believing what had happened. So they were in the environment where it was out of necessity that they gathered together. I think a lot of us, we are in crazy times. I don't know if anybody would really argue with that, but we are in crazy times, crazy seasons. There is weird stuff happening. And we need to have the practice of gathering together, being together. In a passage about persevering the faith, and the author of Hebrews in chapter 10 writes about how we persevere in our faith. One of the things the author writes in verses 24 and 25, And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It has to be a practice that we participate in. The family needs to get together. Don't ignore it. Don't make it a secondary or third issue in your life. Make it a primary thing that we gather together. And why? We'll get to it with the other six. But it is primary and important for us to make this a priority. Otherwise, we may drift. And what do we do when we come together? Number two, the family of God worships together. As they gather together, verse 47, Acts 2, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Early this morning, the first song that we sang, Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I believe all of us here have breath in our lungs. And I hope all of us here were able to praise the Lord. It is one of the main, it is like the one of the primary purposes of the church is to worship our God. And as they did every day, they worshiped in the temple courts. They worshiped together. They gave thanks to God. They praised the Lord. And so can I give you my confession? Holy Spirit did one of those like velvet hammer things to me this week with this. Just hit me. Brought some like just conviction about, hey, you're talking about worship and worshiping together in community. And Adam, how are you doing with that? All I know is last Sunday during the first service, I was in my office in a meeting. The second service, I came in for the first song and I sang. And then I spent the rest of the service helping to put together and get the new people party ready. I wasn't in here singing with you. I wasn't in here worshiping. And yes, I can worship on my own playlist off of K-Love or whatever it is. But God's word wants us to praise the Lord together. And I was ignoring it. Do you make corporate worship a priority? When the music starts, are you eager to give God praise? I know certain things happen on Sunday mornings. We get delayed. But many times we have a more of a moseying in, strolling attitude coming into worship. Versus coming in ready to worship the one who made us and gave his life for each and every one of us. So when we talk about community, it starts with gathering together. And then it starts with, then it continues with, are our hearts ready to worship and praise the Lord? Colossians 3, verse 16 says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. This moves into number three, the family of God learns together. Through the word of God dwells in us richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. So we learn and we teach each other. We're devoted to the apostles' teaching, Acts 2:42. Devoted to the word of God. And then if we can continue what Paul finishes in that verse, how do we teach and admonish each other? With all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit of God. And so not only do we come and we gather and we give worship and we give praise for our own benefit of our own vertical relationship with God, but horizontally, it is important that we worship for the benefit of each other. Those on your right, those on your left, you must sing for them. Don't be silent. Some of us like all different kinds of music, all different kinds of songs. But I know God's word says we teach and admonish each other through psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit. So we are also blessing each other as we sing together. So let it ring out. Number four. Family of God, praise together. We intercede for each other. It is through prayer that God softens us and molds us. It is prayer that moves in our lives, that brings about transformation. It is praying together where we pray for each other for peace and wisdom and understanding. We pray and intercede for each other for healing and for strength. We pray to continue God's mission around the world and in our neighbors' and co-workers' lives. There are many different ways that we pray together, and there can be a lot more. But in community, we are to talk to the Father together and listen to the Father together. Number five, the family of God grows together. Family of God grows together. There's two words up here, Spurs and Bears. I'm not talking about professional sports teams. Hebrews 10, again, the verse we read earlier, talks about how in community we are to spur one another. That is a very inviting word, right? If you know what a spur is. The word also means to provoke or irritate. And it says we are supposed to consider ways of provoking and irritating each other. I trust that I'm provoking and irritating some of you this morning. We are to spur one another on to love and good deeds. That is one way that we grow, that God is using the community for us to grow each other. And if we had no one else to poke us and prod us and to spur us on to see something, to help reveal something in our lives, then we'd be lost. We are all part of the refinement that goes on. That second word, bears, comes out of Colossians 3. Again, Colossians, back on week one, Pastor Rob shared about, we kind of went through Colossians 3. I must bring up a few of the verses again. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another as if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And the idea of bearing, and I think in community, is important because it has the meaning of to hold up. To bear with each other, to hold each other up, to encourage each other. In the hard times, in the hard seasons, when you feel like you cannot walk another step on your own, you have the community, the family of God, that we bear with each other. We hold each other. The visual picture, if you think of like a human pyramid, and when you're struggling, you're up on top of that human pyramid, and understand that through the church community, you have so many other people underneath supporting you. We hold one another. The last word there is forgives. Forgive each other. Because how does that father treat the younger son? forgives. My youngest daughter, where'd she go? She went to the bathroom. All right. My youngest daughter loves making things. She's super creative with art projects, super creative like wanting to bake things in the kitchen. And most times she'll, Dad, can I bake something? No. Dad, can I do an art project? No. Why am I saying no? Because every time when it's over, there is a mess everywhere. And so I just say, no, I'm not going to, let's not even engage here. But what she makes, because my wife says yes, and she makes beautiful things, beautiful pieces of art. Sometimes tasty things in the kitchen. But when it's done, it's beautiful. She has this eye. She has this gift to create beauty. And most of the time I say no because I am frightened and fearful of the mess. Are we ever frightful and fearful of the mess in a church? I know I can be. In a church family, in a church body, to really be growing and worshiping side by side, to commit to each other, to gather together, there's going to be mess. Let me break it to you. We are not a perfect church. I'm not a perfect person. And good news, I know you're all not perfect either. And so when you have imperfect people with imperfect people being led by imperfect people, there's going to be mess. That's why we need God's grace. We bear with each other, we spur each other, and then we forgive one another. When we make the choice to enter into the family, we also are saying yes to the mess. But within that, there is beauty. God still gives beauty in it. Number six, the family of God serves together. I'll also give you a verse reference, 1 John 3:16-18, talks about how we need to like sacrificially serve each other. God has given each one of us heart, passion, desires, eyes to see certain things. And he's given us gifting and skills and talents. And we are to be using those as to serve each other, to lift each other up, to build each other. And so if an invitation, if you're here and you're not serving in any capacity, spur. There are many ways, different avenues, behind the scenes, Sunday mornings, throughout the week, of loving and engaging with our community. Seven, the family of God lives on mission together. The family of God lives on mission together. Verse 47, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And I think it's exciting that we continue to see people coming to faith. New believers, salvations. People are repenting and turning back to the Lord. In this church community, we are reminding each other. We need to remind each other of why we are doing this. The church is about worship. It's about growing as disciples. Then it's also about welcoming more into the family. So the family of God lives on mission together. So as we kind of close and wrap up this morning, what are potential responses to this family of God that we're in? Family of God. And if we look back at the older son, Because there's the younger son, and then there's the older son in the story. Luke 15, verse 25 says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So the older son is out in the field. He's probably in isolation. He is alone, and he hears everything that's happening. He calls a hired servant and says, what's going on? He says, hey, your brother's home and your dad's killed the fattened calf and they're having a party. And then the son says, great. No, he gets angry. He doesn't want to come in. So the father goes out and says, this is what has happened. Your brother was dead. Now he's alive. Please come on in. And I think the beauty of this parable is that we don't know what the older son decides. And for us, we get choices as well. God gives us choice. And I think when we talk about community, about family of God, we have choice. So what I would say first is be thoughtfully aware of family substitutes. To be thoughtfully aware of family substitutes. In our day and age, there are a lot of different clubs, organizations that we can choose to be a part of. I would still say it's not the church. And God can place us in those, or I'm not saying anything bad about those, you know, organizations, those groups, those clubs that we are neighborhood, you know, whatever that we're a part of. And God probably has you there to be a light in season in all those places. But it's not a replacement of the church, where we're trying to gather and worship and grow and serve and be on mission together. So beware of substitutes in your life. Secondly, make the decision to enter the Father's house. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus. Today, the Father's arms are open, open wide for you to come on into the family, to come home with brothers and sisters with a mission and a purpose. And if that's you this morning, I invite you to pray and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Others of us might be here this morning and we maybe are, the decision to enter the house looks different for us. Maybe we kind of come here, and we're here on Sunday, and then we have nothing to do with the body of Christ, the church, the rest of the week. Maybe this is an invitation to come, to engage. Engage with what God's doing here. Number three, maybe this is to provide a space for someone next to you. Here at Westgate, we really want to be championing life groups. Life groups, I know it's hard to be church family when we're hundreds across a worship center, or when we might be at home and unable to be here. And so we have life groups. Life groups are small groupings of people, maybe from 6 to, some of you have 20 people in them. Ways to have that prayer, have that support, have that holding up, have that spurring together in a smaller area that you can engage in. And so as I would ask is, like right now, snapshot, we have over 400 people involved in life groups. It's great. But there are many more that want to be in life groups. And honestly, we don't have room. And so if you're currently involved in a life group, is there space? Maybe this is an opportunity for you to pray. Lord, would leading a life group be something you would like for me to consider? To Just hold that before the Lord. And if God is going to move you in that direction today, weeks to come, you know, let me or life group leader know about it, and love to encourage you and give you tools to lead a group so we can be more family together. So, church family, brothers and sisters, you pray with me. Lord God, we do thank you. Thank you that you have given us the church body. You have given us each other. You have given us a place to gather and a place to worship and a place to celebrate you and a place to spur each other on and a place with a mess where we also have to have grace and forgiveness. Lord, continue to lead us. May we be faithful. May we be hearing from you. And may we worship and celebrate you. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
Church family, we worship and we celebrate together. We also remember and we grieve together as well. This past week, we lost a dear member of our church family, Dale Bennington, who has led a community and led Bible studies and led trips to Holy Land, and he's going to be greatly missed. But I just wanted to share with you that Thursday afternoon and evening from 3 to 6 will be visitation here. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll have a service for Dale, remembering and celebrating his life. And he's with Jesus right now. But so let's continue to pray for Pam and Zoe and their family and upon that loss. But it's part of being church family, walking, holding each other. So if you want to receive prayer this morning, please do. Kathy, Norm over here, Bob, Jerry over here. Let's come up and let them pray for you. If you have a prayer request, let's come on up, or you can go back to our prayer room as well. So may you go out this week with the love of the Father, the grace of the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in His peace. Amen.